Good morning, everybody. This is Indira Chatterjee from AGCS2 Mumbai, bringing before you a synopsis of the story A Visit to Cambridge by Firdaus Kanga. In our lives, we are often troubled by difficulties. If we have to study a lesson which is boring, we always feel annoyed. If we have to do some chore, we feel glum. If we have to do something tedious, we are exhausted. Sometimes we feel nature has been very harsh upon us. We feel that we are the unluckiest persons in the world. But have we thought about those men and women who are born disabled? Have we thought as to how they lead their lives? Have we ever thought that they need help to do even the minutest of things, but they are too proud to take help? This is a story of a personal account of a wheelchair-bound writer-cum-journalist who is based in Mumbai. Kanga was born with brittle bones, which tended to break easily, even as a child. He moved around in a wheelchair. He went to London in England and interviewed Stephen Hawking, a renowned astrophysicist. He was also bound to the wheelchair because he was paralyzed. Now let us hear something about Firdaus Kanga. Firdaus Kanga was born in Mumbai in a Parsi family in 1959. He adjusted to his disability in early life and was very tough mentally. Till fourth grade, he was tutored at home. But after that, he joined the Champion School in Mumbai. Kanga had presented documentaries such as Double Trouble and Twice the Fun. Taboo was also another documentary which Kanga explored religion and disability. Kanga contributed greatly to media. His condition left him with a painful fracture during his childhood, teenage and adolescent lives. He grew up in a family of five, in one bedroom hall kitchen in Mumbai. He spoke out against Indian social consciousness. Kanga's first major achievement was Trying to Grow Up, a novel which explores disability and culture. He speaks out strongly about taboos against disabled people. Hawking radiation is one of the most discussed radiations in the world. It is associated with Stephen Hawking. It is a concept which he developed early in his career, and the scientists have continued to research it. Understanding this Hawking radiation is a real tough thing. It needs real expertise in explaining it. Hawking radiation explains as to how actually black holes leak energy to the point of disappearance. Hawking isn't the only person who researched with this. There are many others too, but his contribution was of substantial help. Hawking's genius arguably deserved a Nobel Prize. He said to have brought together many fields: physical theory, gravitation, cosmology, quantum theory, thermodynamics, and information technology. It was in 1959 that Hawkins began his undergraduate studies at the University of Oxford. After completing his degree in physics, Hawkins went to do PhD in University of Cambridge. He became a world famous theoretical physicist. He died at the age of 76, but before that he was the most recognizable physicist. He holds an iconic status. He appeared on Star Trek, The Next Generation, The Simpsons, and The Big Bang Theory. His early life was subject of an Oscar winning award, The Theory of Everything. He was regularly consulted for many problems, right from time travel to alien life to Middle Eastern politics. He had an endearing sense of humor And he also had a Superman's brain. But his cultural status was amplified by his disability and the media storms over it. It often overshadowed his scientific legacy. He helped in the course of physics. His book, titled A Brief History of Time, is one of the best sellers. Firdaus Kanga was on a walking tour through Cambridge when the guide mentioned about a poor man who was disabled, but he was a worthy successor to Isaac Newton, whose chair he held at the university. Once the walking tour was over, Kanga telephoned Hawking's assistant and sought an appointment. He said that he had come all the way from India on a wheelchair and would like to meet Hawking even for 10 minutes. The assistant gave him the time from 3:30 to 4 for half an hour. Kanga felt as if he was growing weak, but he felt strong when he thought that he was going to meet somebody like himself. The next morning, when Kanga met Hawking, he saw a completely paralyzed man seated on a wheelchair. His only means of communication was a computer button, which he pressed with great difficulty. When asked to Hawking about himself, he denied being brave. He just said that he had no choice but to live on. Kanga felt guilty every time he spoke to him because he was forcing Hawking to respond. The tapping of the switch to find words would leave him exhausted. Kanga would feel his anguish. He could also feel that Kanga's questions were making him think. Hawking had a mind full of thoughts, but which were coming out in frozen phrases. Kanga said that a lot of people seem to think that disabled people are chronically unhappy, but Hawking said nothing about it. Kanga asked Hawking if he was laughing about it inside. To that question, Kanga responded, "I find it very amusing when people try to patronize me." Then later, Kanga asked, "Do you find it annoying when somebody like me comes to disturb you at your work?" Stephen Hawking gave a one-way smile and said, "Yes." He was one of the most beautiful men in the world. The writer had some own thoughts about Stephen Hawking. His head was twisted sideways and his torso shrunk inside a pale blue shirt. Yet they were all saying something. Kanga felt that the scientist was like a lantern whose walls were worn out so that you could get only a glimpse of the light within. The author asked whether he could think of anything that was good about being disabled. Hawking said there was nothing good about being disabled. He didn't agree to Kanga's view that one got to experience much goodness in the world. When asked what advice he would like to give to the disabled, Hawking said, "Let them do what they are good at. The Disabled Olympics is a waste of time." Kanga agreed to it. The half an hour was up. Hawking wanted him to stay for tea. He wanted to show him the garden. The garden was as big as a park. Now Kanga had to leave. He could not kiss him or cry. He just touched his shoulder and wheeled out. After hearing this story, we get a feeling that the mind is superior than the body. It is up to us how to use our mind. There are people who do unthinkable things when they want to do it. In this story, there are two disabled men and both are heroes. One has travelled all the way from Mumbai to Cambridge to interview one of the greatest minds in our history, second half Stephen Hawking. The other, who is responding to questions, does so with great difficulty. But he responds. His answers are stiff, coming out of a computer. but they are his own answers. There is a sense of pity, and the reader feels that these both entities are hopeless, but they don't pity themselves. They are brave, they are strong. The lesson we learn is that when we have difficulties, we must overcome them. We should not be diffident. We should be brave and strong like both the characters. Thank you.